You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. When it came time to choose a musical to put on this summer, the team at San Francisco's Theater Rhinoceros knew they wanted to pull out all the stops for their 40th anniversary. And that's how this queer theatrical institution decided on Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. It's a show about two drag queens and a transgender woman who hop on a bus and travel across Australia, lip-syncing to 70s diva anthems and having adventures along the way. But behind the glitter and costumes and feel-good music, there's a message of equality and inclusion that Theater Rhinoceros tries to evoke in all of its shows. Executive Director John Fisher sat down with KALW's Nina Gensler-Debs to reflect on 40 years of queer theater.
So for those of you who don't know, Theater Rhinoceros is the longest-running queer theater company in the world, right? Founded
That's
in 1977.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Can you tell me a little bit more about the company?
Well, it was founded in 1977 when there was very little queer representation. It wasn't in film. It wasn't in theater. There were very few books. And so it was a way of getting queer lives in front of the audience. And since then, it's just grown and grown. It's expanded to include lesbians and transgenders and people who are questioning. So it's really become a hallmark for all queer theater. There have been other queer theaters. They just haven't lasted as long or they're younger. So Theater Rhinoceros goes all the way back into the mid-70s. So it really is a link to the birth of the queer movement.
And so what did it mean for you when you found this queer theater space?
Well, I think when I was in college, I was like in the closet because it was like the Reagan era and gay was bad and you weren't supposed to be gay or, you know, you weren't supposed to be gay when you were 20. Wait till you're 40. Wait till you've had kids. You know, it was like all that stuff. So when I started doing theater in college, I was very frustrated because I wanted to tell queer stories. And then when I went back to graduate school, I was like, well, I'm just going to tell queer stories. And I did these plays and I gave them obnoxious titles like The Joy of Gay Sex because I wanted everybody to know it was like about gay people, right? I didn't want to be like Angels in America. I mean, like, what's that really about? I wanted them to know before they even came in the door. And so to then move from the university to San Francisco and actually be doing theater at a theater that only does queer theater was for me like another coming out. It was like, wow, you know, it's not just that I'm gay and I also do theater. It's like, I will do gay theater. So for me, it was like bringing all the worlds together that were important to me. The two most important things in my life are theater and queerness.
And what do you think has, why has Theater Rhinoceros lasted so long? Why has it been so successful?
I think it's turned challenges into opportunities. The first challenge it faced was AIDS, and AIDS killed 4/5 of the people who founded the theater. It almost destroyed the theater. So the people who survived turned around and created the AIDS show, which was the first theatrical representation of the AIDS pandemic ever in the United States. And it was a show that talked about living with AIDS. And no, people weren't getting that anywhere else. They weren't getting it off TV. They weren't getting it from the newspaper. There was a lot of disinformation and a lack of coverage. So the AIDS show really was an opportunity that arose from a challenge. And Theater Rhinoceros has always found opportunities and challenges. Right now, we're doing a show, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which is about transgenders. I mean, it's a musical and it's a lot of fun, but it's also about the challenges of being a transgender.
For those of you who haven't seen the movie, it's based on a movie.
Right, an Australian movie.
Australian movie. Tell me a little bit about what it's about.
It's about three gay guys. Two of them are, they dress up in women's clothing. They're basically female impersonators. And the third is a transgender. And they head across Australia to the middle of the country, Alice Springs, so that one of them can be together with his son. So back when he was young, he had a son with a woman. And now the woman has called him and said, you know, our kid is growing up great, but he wants a father. Their story is really uplifting. It's about how, you know, the world is accepting transgenders because transgenders are demanding acceptance. In other words, Theater Rhinoceros, everybody asks where the name comes from. Well, it's named after the rhinoceros. The rhinoceros is a big, loving, decent creature. Doesn't harm anybody. It's a vegetarian. But if you attack it, it fights back. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, is the model for the queer movement. We're loving. We're peaceful. We're gay. Gay means happy. But if you attack us, we fight back. We fight for our rights.
I'm speaking with John Fisher, Artistic Director of Theater Rhinoceros in San Francisco. We saw a couple of years ago Fun Home,
right. Mm-hmm.
And Modern Family is on TV, and
that's
there
right.
are more and more different representations of gay and queer life in various kinds of media. So Tell me a little bit about why it's still so important to have a theater company really dedicated to presenting queer work.
I think that's a good question. And I think our assumption is that as it becomes more and more a part of the mainstream, it's no longer necessary. We try to stay at the cutting edge of things. In other words, what you're going to see on TV or what you're going to see on Broadway is somehow a little bit safe. There are moments even in Priscilla that are very naughty. They're a little too naughty for TV or Broadway. And I'm very proud of that because I feel a titter in the audience. And I feel like, you know, we're still playing to the gay men who find sexuality both exciting and amusing. And the lesbian audience, which is titillated and excited by jokes directed at them and for them. And I don't see in television and movies quite the extremity to which we go with our work. And I don't see quite as much transgender representation as we're committed to, or the lives of underrepresented communities within the queer community. We did a show at the beginning of the year about three African-American men with queer themes, and there just isn't that much out there about that now. As a matter of fact, the show was written by the same guy who won the Academy Award for Moonlight.
Barry Jenkins?
I mean, why aren't there more queer African-American writers out there whose work is getting done? And so I don't always feel that the representation is either enough or playing to quite the cutting edge that we work towards. I mean, I really feel like what we're doing now is what's going to be done in film in 10 years.
Yeah.
And we're still ahead of all that. And I feel like our audience feels that too. They still want the naughtiness. They still want the extremity. They still want the confrontation aspect of it.
And sort of thinking in the future, near and sort of like 5-10 years from now, when you say cutting edge, what do you think that you guys are going to continue working towards?
So I feel like this country, it'd be nice to say that there'll be new battles to fight, but I still feel like we're fighting the old battles. And in San Francisco, I think we feel like, you know, all the battles are won, and probably largely to some extent they are, but in the middle of the country, it's a whole different story.
Yeah.
You know, this is a story about three men who go from Sydney to the middle of Australia. And I feel like when we travel from San Francisco to the middle of our country, we encounter the same prejudices.